Thank you, Bill. And thank you to the organizers for inviting me to share with you today. This is a real honor, also terrifying. This is the first time I've told my story to anyone. In the AA meetings I go to, I'm much more of a listener than a sharer, and I share little snippets here and there when God calls me to do so, but largely I'm personally rather introverted. Professionally, I'm pretty much of an extrovert. I speak publicly all the time to researchers and scientists and C-suite executives at pharma companies, but I always have a PowerPoint to guide the way. So today you get me unplugged, and I promise to do my best and share from the heart. Interestingly, this morning when I was doing my meditation, and this is from the One Day at a Time in Al-Anon book, this sums up so much about what the Al-Anon program is about, today's reminder, and it says, "Trying to analyze why another person persists in destructive behavior cannot help me out of my own difficulties. I can overcome them only by turning my thoughts inward to face my own mistakes and to learn how to improve myself. The alcoholic is not my problem. The problem is me." And I think that sums up the program in a nutshell. So as Bill said, my road to serenity coming to Al-Anon began on the 1st of January, or January 25th, rather, of 2014. And I was driven there by the alcoholism of my partner of 16 years. I'm gay. We've been together for a long time, domestic partners since 2007 and married since 2013. And he was really my first exposure to alcoholism. And it was a spiraling path, kind of manifested itself over the years. You know, my family background is pretty wholesome. I was blessed with really amazing parents and a really good upbringing. I often tell people that I won the parent lottery because my parents are really, really pretty terrific people. Sadly, we lost my father just over a year ago, which has been a struggle as well. You know, when I was growing up, people used to call my mom and dad Ward and June. So those of you who are familiar with Leave It to Beaver, that's kind of my mom and dad. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Went to the beauty shop every Friday to get her hair done. My dad was very successful, and you know, we weren't what I would call wealthy, but we lived a really comfortable life, and my parents provided for us really well. I was also raised very Catholic, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, Catholic university. Didn't experience public education until I went to graduate school. And being Catholic and growing up gay, and knowing you're gay from a pretty early age is not a good mesh. I struggled a lot. A lot of self-hatred, a lot of guilt, and it's taken me a long time to resolve religion versus spirituality, and this program has certainly been very constructive in guiding me through that path. There was no alcoholism in my family, with one exception, which I didn't learn until probably the mid to late 80s. My father has two sisters. His next oldest sister and her family, we were all very close to, did a lot of things together as a family. But his eldest sister, my Aunt Catherine, was always absent from our life. And it wasn't until she died that I learned why, and it was because she was an addict and an alcoholic. And my father had literally forbade her to be a part of our life. He would not allow us to be exposed to the destructive path that she had wreaked upon her own family, including her son's own addiction and ultimate suicide. So, again, a blessing from my father. So, you know, alcoholism didn't come into my life until I met what I refer to as the man-child that I've been with for the past 16 years. and really the first 5 years were good. We have had a very blessed life, very successful. Outwardly, you know, people look at us and think we've got it all together. What they didn't see is inside the home what was going on and how destructive that became. One of the binding things between us, or common things between us, was a really good appreciation of wine, which I still have to this day. But a lot of our activities and the things that we did together revolved around wine. What I didn't realize is that, you know, we'd go to a wine event or we'd go out to dinner and share a bottle of wine. But after that was done, I didn't realize until not so long ago how much he was drinking beyond that. And as his, drinking progressed, it did become more public. A lot of personal embarrassment and humiliation, a lot of outbursts. He was never violent to me or other people. He was violent to inanimate objects, street signs, lampposts, walls, some trips to the ER. I withdrew more and more, became very isolated. Our home life kind of became him coming home from work, pulling a bottle of wine from our wine cellar, playing video games, and I'd sit upstairs and watch TV and read, and we were sort of two people living parallel lives under the same roof. And as things progressed, I can honestly say my anger turned toward hate. I hated the guy. I really hated the guy. And resented what had become of our life. And things started to turn around. He, at my urging, and I would tell him on a number of occasions, you know, I think you really have a drinking problem. And I think it's affecting not just your life, but our life together as well, and my life. And he went in and out of AA for about a year. He'd stay in for 30 days or 60 days, didn't get a sponsor, and would come back out, and the cycle would repeat itself. And then finally, September 2nd, 2013, I know his sobriety date, he entered the program and went into it with a full heart, and got a sponsor, dedicated to meetings, dedicated to service, and I could see the changes in him, and it was a wonderful thing. The problem for me was he was immersed in AA, meetings all the time, had this wonderful fellowship of friends that were supportive and truly wonderful people, and I was still at home alone, and I was still angry and resentful, and I missed my wine drinking buddy. You know, that was a big part of our life, and I didn't know how to manage. You know, how do I drink now? You know, I'm not an alcoholic, and I enjoy a glass of wine with dinner. And so for 6 months I didn't drink at all, except when I traveled on business and was with business colleagues. But I never drank in front of him. I had our entire wine collection moved out of the house and put into storage, and I resented that as well. So, So I finally got to the point where I needed to do something for me. You know, as I said, you know, my problem isn't really his drinking. My problem is me. And so through my husband's sponsor, whose wife is an Al-Anon, I learned about the West Seattle Saturday morning Al-Anon meeting and walked in to that room for the first time. Had no idea what to expect. And there was a really diverse group of people, not a table of ladies knitting, but a very diverse group of people from all walks of life and all different experiences. And I realized, wow, I'm really not alone here. There are other people that share my pain and my anger and my frustration. And I also realized in listening to the stories that you know, as stories go, I'm a pretty fortunate guy. You know, I've heard a lot of sorrow, a lot of pain, and as much as I've felt sorry for myself, I've been pretty blessed that the path that I went down was not nearly as dark as many paths happen to be. So for the first year, I didn't get a sponsor. As I said, I'm kind of a listener, and I go to the meetings regularly, found some other meetings that I pop in and out of, and mostly would listen to people. The other thing that was actually a big blessing to me is that my husband invited me to join him in the West Seattle Saturday Night Speakers Meeting. And so I got to meet what has really become an extended family for us, which is his partner, or his sponsor, and his grand sponsor, and his great grand sponsor, and their specific significant others and spouses. And you know, I think about 7 years ago, a Saturday night out for us would be, you know, a nice dinner and some wine and a movie, or go to a club. And now Saturday nights are the Saturday night speakers meeting. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's actually pretty nice. But one of the things as the year progressed, that first year, and I watched his behavioral changes, what made me very jealous was the relationship that he had with his AA peers and the way he treated them, you know, the service and the courtesy and the respect. And my anger started to percolate back up again because I wanted to be treated the same way. You know, it was, I saw all this external change in him, but in the way that we interacted, that wasn't changing so much. And as I started to think about it, that was as much my doing as his. And so there was a reading actually the day before yesterday in the daily reading that I thought was so timely. And it says, this is for February 25th, I will accept the fact that sobriety does not bring a complete transformation. After all, the alcoholic is still basically the same person with the same individuality. The one immediate difference, of course, is that his personality is not distorted by drunkenness. And goes on to say, I will be grateful for the sobriety. I will be patient with all that disturbs me, and I will hold on to my faith in the ultimate good. And so that was when I realized, as I kind of came to those realizations on my own, that, okay, if I'm going to be true to this program, I need to have my own sponsor. And as I'd been going to this meeting for the past year, and I watch people. And, you know, much as my husband has said, you know, when I picked my sponsor, I looked for someone that had something that I wanted. And so I took the same approach in watching people and listening to people. And my first sponsor was someone that struck me as well. When he didn't share a whole lot, but when he shared, it was like, wow, I really hear what you're saying. Straight man, but a lot of common experience. And so I asked him to be my sponsor, and he said yes, and we started on the steps. And step one was a no-brainer for me. I was like, yeah, I get that. I've always got that. I'm a scientist by training. I know alcoholism is a disease. There's nothing I can do about it, and yes, my life has become unmanageable. And step two was pretty straightforward, you know, that a power greater than myself could restore my sanity. And we worked through those two steps. And then, unfortunately, some personal issues in my sponsor's life that he needed to deal with required him to step out. And I, going into step three, I was without a sponsor. And I didn't know where to turn, and I hadn't really identified anyone that I thought was going to be the right person. So I started working step three, and for me, it was, how do I resolve the real juxtaposition of the Catholic God that I was brought up with and a higher power that would be my spiritual guide. And I really struggled with that, and I was really stuck on step three. And in the meantime, my husband and I started seeing a relationship counselor, which helped to some degree, but not a whole lot. I'm not a great communicator, and that didn't help me really become a better one, to be honest with you, because I'm not that open. And we sort of continued to live in many ways parallel lives. And as I was working through step three, you know, I kept asking myself, so where is this God? I started going back to Catholic Church, and you know, maybe there is something there for me, and I wasn't finding it there. And in the meantime, you know, our relationship was just really not getting any better. And so we decided to separate. And last October, he moved out. We thought we would take a six-month break and kind of work on each of our individual selves and see where that got us. And about that time, actually, I identified someone to be my sponsor. And he said something. Our first interaction was just words of wisdom to me. I said, Ben, I'm stuck on step three. I can read the words, but it's like I can't turn it over. And he said, you're being too literal, which is one of my great character flaws. He said, the step is made a decision to, not do it. The rest of the steps get you there. And I was like, duh. And that broke the logjam, and so you know, here I am at I'm at step four, and working through step four, and I'm learning so much about myself and this journey, and you know, as I think about a fearless moral inventory and learning about my character flaws, you know, one of the big things for me is that being a scientist by training, I'm a pretty binary guy. You know, if you can't define it by an equation, it's not really real. And but the reality is, and I hear this from so many people in both programs, is that, you know, God is in the gray. You know, it's not yes or no. It's not black or white. You have to be able to read between the lines. You have to kind of search, you know, between the boundaries, because you're not going to see it in an equation, so to speak. Secondly, I've historically been a pretty judgmental person. You know, I have this empirical rule of, you know, behavior and how people are and what they should do and what they shouldn't do, and historically been pretty quick to judge, and also very intolerant of the shortcomings of others as well. And I think my biggest character flaw is I'm a grudge holder, my husband has certainly been the victim of that. I guess the lessons that I've learned so far are, to summarize this, are one, I have to let go, and the program is helping me do that. When I go to meetings, I'm continually jotting down notes of things people say that resonate with me. And one that I wrote down just a few weeks ago was, if you don't let go, you get rope burn. And damn, is that true? Is that true? Ever so true. Secondly, the only thing I have control over is me. I have control over my words, my thoughts, my actions, my reactions, and how I treat others. And the best thing I can do every day when I get up and do my meditation is to ask God to help me live an honorable day and to lead the way down that path. Because at the end, I can control what I do, but I have no control over outcomes. My higher power controls the outcomes. Fourth, this has helped me move from a religious view of God to a spiritual view. So I have clearly become, in this program, a more spiritual person, and my life is better for it. And, you know, in terms of my relationship with my husband, we have decided to move back in together when his lease on his apartment ends in the end of April. And we're going to give it another shot and see how that works. And, you know, the best thing I can leave you with for me is, you know, I don't know how this ends. I don't know where this goes. But because of this program, I'm okay with that. And that's it for me. Thank you.